Yo, what up? Got a new episode today. On this episode, I got Sun Person. He's a music artist, a rapper, a musician, all around badass. Secondly, I got some exclusive stuff that's going to happen at the end of this episode, so definitely stick around. You know, it's going to be cool. But yeah, for real though, the hardest working musician, rapper in Memphis. Dude, got some major hype shit coming up and going on. Sun Person is on the episode. It's exciting, dude. Here we go. You ready? Let's do it. Dude, man. So let's talk about saving some money really fast, right? Because obviously, you know, this is a commercial. One thing about this one, let's talk about saving money with car insurance. And I know this sounds like a cliche thing because you hear about this all the time on TV. But just go check these people out. Go check out Jerry, the car insurance saving app, right? It's a cool app. I use it and it saved me a lot of money. Right. On average, the average customer can save like $878 a year using this Jerry app, right? Because they go through and they find all of the insurance people that are going to really save you money and work best for you and, you know, keep you safe and money in your pocket. You know, that's the best thing to do, right? They have a 4.2 on Google, so you know it's legit and you know they're about that business, man. That's why I use them. And of course, you know, here on the Orbit Spaceman Show, we are all about the good stuff, you know. So, you can go to the Jerry app and you can use them. Find them on Google and iOS. You can sign up in like 43 seconds. It doesn't even take that long, right? So, check this out. I'm going to leave you guys a invite down in the bottom to go and get on that. You know what I mean? So, there will be a quick little link in the bio for Jerry Insurance. And you can check that out and get hooked up. You know what I mean? It's... do it, dude. Like, you'll save so much money. So much money. The Jerry app. Insurance. Check it out. So, what up? You got, how you say Sun Person, right?
Yeah, it's Sun Person. Everyone, it's so funny. Like, people, the first time they say it, will say Sun Pearson. And yeah. I'm like, there's no peer. It's right. The person.
Well, it's funny because, like, the first time I saw it, I was like, okay, it is person. And then I like second guessed myself for a second. Yeah. I was like, wait a minute, is it?
But no. That's what my mom was saying. She was like, I think it's the double sun right between each other.
So, okay. So, well, first off, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Yeah. I mean, like I told you, I'm a little tired, but yeah. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah. Well, hey, I mean, when in the profession that you're going, being tired is a good thing.
I know.
That means you're putting in hustle work. You're getting work done.
Definitely.
You know what I mean? So, so yesterday, like when we met and all that stuff, we met down at Brenton's because you were doing the Hempus, or not the Hempus, but the Knowledge
Flower. Yeah. We were going down there. Yeah, because you were telling me how you had to leave early, so I definitely wanted to introduce myself. And later that night when we came back down, we played like 10, 15 minutes. It was really fun. There was a big showing, honestly. Yeah. I was really happy that they had such a big crowd there. I love that place. I know the owner really well at Brinson's. We've done a few shows there.
Okay, cool. Nick, that because I'm from the video which you had posted or whatever, I seen it's like it was nice, seemed like a nice turnout.
Yeah.
What else? So
what about you? How was Martin?
Man, so yeah. So me and the Comedy Outlaws went to Martin last night and it was a crazy show. The people of Martin had a great ass time. We had a great time. You know what I mean? So, only downside to last night was that the fucking Grizzlies lost by 1 point.
Dude, I know.
That irritated the shit out of me, to be honest.
Yeah. They just... They'll win it, though. They'll win the series.
Yeah. Well, the next two games, they're coming home, so...
Exactly.
I mean, you know? So, we got them. They're going to be it. You know what I mean? So, basically, here's a question. What got you in the... to music or rap music or to music in general, like what
got you into
it? Yeah,
man, I was singing since I was little. Like, okay. I guess like since I could like speak, I was always liking to sing. And then it was like my mom put me in some classes, this place called House of Talent, place out in Germantown. It was very like artsy, like theater kind of stuff. Yeah. And it was cool for what it was, but like even from a young age, I noticed it wasn't what I wanted to do. Like we would sit in, I would sit in with my theatrical vocal coach playing like Justin Bieber, playing like just like the most random stuff. But like, it was stuff that I enjoyed. I always loved the pop culture kind of scene since a young age. And, you know, I was at School of Rock from age 7 to 17, where we just basically gigged in bars all around the city.
So you play instruments and stuff too?
So I actually did start out with guitar, and I transitioned. I just noticed that like I loved being a front man when I was younger, and it was like the instrument pieces were always something that I tried to get into. Like I even tried, when I first started writing music, I would write all my stuff on piano, you know, just like doing chords. And it just like never stuck with me. I've noticed now growing into my music that I'm more of a business savvy guy.
Yeah.
And that like, I just let my friends take the engineering and the production aspect of things.
Okay.
We work like that.
So like when you're making a song or something like that, is there any type of like melodic stuff that you're going for, or is it any kind of like, since you know music like that, is it any type of like chord progressions or any type of stuff like that that you like your ears picking up and you're like, okay, that's gonna be my beat right there type of thing?
Yeah, I was gonna say like I just kind of like you just kind of have to make what feels right, and but like to that same point, it has to. I like making stuff that makes sense too, because it's like when you can write and the. You know, it coincides with what the story is telling within the actual instrumental. Like if everything is going together, it just makes the song so much better.
Right.
But you know, I think I go into a song, I don't really know theory. So it's like, I listen to something and kind of like what Matt Martian used to do. I don't know if you know, he was just like one of the biggest songwriters of his time, writing stuff for Britney Spears and NSYNC, Backstreet Boys.
He was definitely like the...
I mean, like
he was like the definitely like the young pop.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Being from Sweden, he didn't even know English, and he was like just humming the stuff out. And that's exactly what I do. It's like you just like make the melody first, and if that feels good, then you write straightforward lyrics.
But because he was basically like the pop Rick James.
Dude, he
was like, I can't really play too much, but I can hum this bullshit out right here,
and it sounded nice, and it made number one hits.
They hit in millions,
so it worked.
That's funny. Okay. So, listening to some of the music that you do have.
Yeah.
I heard this was, you dropped the song back in February.
Yeah. Texaco.
Texaco. So listening to that one, I heard like you were just saying like you like to sing a little bit.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. I heard you got the little melodic tunes in there and that kind of a deal.
That was where we started. Yeah.
So how did that song even come about? You know what I'm saying?
Texaco? Yeah. Dude, that song, so funny. It's exactly what we're talking about, actually. Like, so my, we produced that one myself with my, I co-produce most of my stuff. I say most of my stuff now because I do outsource to other producers now. But in the beginning, I made everything.
I mean, you're working. I mean, you're getting
somewhere. Yeah. But in the beginning, it was like just with one guy, and it was the general manager of School of Rock. His name's Landon Moore. Super cool guy. He took me under his wing, basically my mentor. And he taught me how to songwrite. And so Texaco is one that we wrote together. You know, it was like the word Texaco was just stuck in my head. Yeah. And so I was like, I got to write a song about slushies. Yeah. And it kind of worked. Yeah. Like, it was like, I just, you know, wrote a little story to it. It made it feel good. And it was history. And now it has like over 200,000 streams.
So, yeah. Yeah. Cause like
it did its thing.
And the visuals to it.
The visuals are so cool. The visuals, I was so like excited for like the kind of exposure we were able to get from it, because we had Channel News 3 that played the video like 2 days early, and then like a few weeks back, I think it was 2 weeks ago now, I did an interview with Action News 5 and they played it on there too. And so to have like the, you know, those two big local news stations like rocking with it, it's a very cool thing to see.
But hey, bro, because when I watched it the first time, like, see, me, I'm, because, you know, I'm older or whatever, so, like, I grew up, Texaco's were, like, you know what I'm saying, that was a predominant gas station, you know what I mean? It was, like, seeing, like, a BP, an Exxon, some shit like that on the corner somewhere.
For sure.
So, like, hearing the name, I'm like, what? this man that Kyoto. I was like, I gotta hear it. I gotta listen to it. You know what I mean? So then when I heard it, I was like, okay. Like, because the beat, the melody, and then the actual lyrics that you got to it, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The flow, everything, like, in this conjunction, great. So, like,
I feel like I can accredit a lot of that to my, and it's funny, I haven't really talked about this with a lot of people, but my English teacher this year, I take AP language composition, and just learning like the art of rhetoric and different rhetorical devices to, you know, express yourself in writing, and also just the art of persuasion, getting people to understand your point of view through like alliteration and assonance and just different just ways of, you know, expressing your vocal tones. That psychological effect of it all is very cool to me. Yeah. It's nerdy, it's sciencey, but it's dope.
Right.
Especially when you write lyrics.
Right. Also, we ain't gonna slide past the fact that this man just said, oh, I'm taking AP. What?
Oh, oh my God.
How old are you, bro?
I'm 17.
17.
This
man making moves and shit.
That's the whole reason 17. I'm so tired, dude, because it's exam time. I'm a junior, and I'm taking 5 AP classes.
5 AP classes?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, school is definitely there still.
Yeah.
Bro, it's like as much time as I put in music, I almost put even more into school.
Yeah.
So it's like free time lately. Like, I basically boiled it down to like my fun time and the time that used to be just like messing around with friends in high school is just like my music time. Like, it's what I enjoy doing now. And it's like the time I want to put my, or the places I want to put my effort in, because it's like for long run success and what I want to do.
Right.
Why would I not?
It's like you could be.
I could just be with my friends chilling.
Yeah,
I could just be doing whatever.
Parties for the next 10 years or something. Exactly. And then be like, oh, now I'm going to take my music serious.
Exactly. But instead, it's like we're at the ring and Knowledge Fest and the same.
Right.
And then I go back home and write 50 emails and edit a TikTok.
Hey, it's the funniest stuff. But the crazy thing is, like you said, like, but you putting in that kind of work is proof. It's paying off. It's paying off. It's showing.
People are enjoying it.
Because I was doing the little research, you know what I mean?
Hell yeah.
So it's like with your
branding,
with your branding, the image, the stuff that you're portraying off, it's like you got what 364 followers, I believe.
Yeah, and
on YouTube
is just like its own thing. Like Instagram is definitely the biggest platform. Yeah. And like you'll notice, like I just like repost everything really. I call it the big four. I try to utilize Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and YouTube the most, because those are the four that, and you know, I don't really focus on YouTube as much, but the funny thing is YouTube is like, it's so weird. Like Instagram, you kind of understand how the algorithm is going to work. Like it's going to be mostly the people that are following you. But like I posted these will average like 30 views.
Right.
And then I had a video that had like, look, you can go back in the shorts. It was like 2,000 views. The most random video ever.
Right.
Where was it? Keep going. It's just so funny. Yeah, that one right there.
Yeah.
Look at that. 4K in like this abyss of like 30s and 50s.
Right.
Like, and I just did absolutely nothing else. Like I did the exact same thing as every other video.
Right. And then the crazy thing too is that, because you've had some songs where you've had like some feature songs and stuff like that.
Right. Yeah.
On some other people's tracks. And then, there's some stuff that I think that had like that was like beforehand, you know what I'm saying, when you were like first coming up and all that kind of stuff too. And so it's like, and it was like, well, I think one of them, I can't remember which video it was, but it had damn near like 17K. So it was
that
was wild, you know
the
what
first
mean?
Songs I know what you're talking about. So my first video I ever put out was Girl Like You, and it was like I already, like I said, music and me were like this for 10 years. It was really just like the artistry and wanting to create original music and, you know, this brand side of things. This was all really only like 6 to 8 months ago.
Yeah.
So it was like when that first single came out, all my high school friends and everyone else that knew who I was, they knew, Whit put out a song.
Yeah.
So it was like flood to it. And it did well. It was just like, I had to learn, you know, as a 16-year-old that like, you couldn't just put music out and just leave it there.
Right.
That's not how it works. And it's like, you're not going to create success from that. And, you know, I took my...
And
so
it's cool that you learned that early.
You know, because it's like, I put out some singles. I think I put out 4. And they didn't do bad for, like, my first singles, but I knew I could do better.
Right.
And so I took a break. And over summer, I just... I got this thing that was called the Brand Man Network. It was a $600 course that I said, you know what? I'm just going to put my money into this and get to the books. I basically just like learned how to brand myself and have like an entire book full of notes from it, executed in October, and now we're sitting here.
Yeah.
So it's working also, but you know, you gotta have it like a very jobs not done mentality. With every release, with every achievement, with every stream goal that you make, you just gotta remember to stay humble and keep going.
Right. True, man. That's what's up, bro. And that's cool. I'm like I said, it's just cool and it's humbling too that you figured that out already. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Because like I said, a lot of times people, they go into the music industry and especially into this genre of music and they're like, oh, I'm just going to go here. I'm just going to make music. I'm just going to throw some money at it. Dude, whatever. And it's like, oh, it's going to happen. You know what I mean? Or they go the like low-key lazy route and they say, well, I'm just going to pay somebody which is going to get a bunch of robots to fucking up my shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and then so, it's like nothing. Then it's like, okay, you did that, but where is the sustainability? It's like you have a number that's sitting there, but you don't have stream. You don't have people actively listening to you. You don't have people that are like passionately pursuing you on social media or in real life. Like no one, it's just like they're faking it in the music industry is almost like the worst thing you can do because it's like you will get used to it and it'll feel good, but like for a slight second, it's like it will feel awful afterwards. But when you really put your effort into it and you know, like, wow, like this was my all and you see it pay off when you hit those six figure numbers, when you just like get the attention of your city, I guess it's just like, it's gratifying.
Yeah.
It makes you feel like, dang, you know, you did something that helped the community. You did something cool.
Right. Makes you feel like you did some really important shit, really cool shit, but it makes you feel like.
It makes it feel bigger than music.
Right. It makes and then it make it kind of sometimes make it feel like it's bigger than you.
Definitely.
Yeah.
It makes it like I think Texaco for me was like such a cool song that like put me into the community. It really opened a lot of doors for me. It gave me a lot of access to new people just because they found out who I was. I found out who they were. And, you know, it's like when you're around like-minded people and not just, you know, your friends that just do, you don't do really. Like for music, for example, like being around a bunch of musicians, it's like, it's so much easier to be a powerhouse. Like it's so much easier for us just to create awesome stuff because we're all wanting to do
it. Right. And then a lot of times too, it's like you get to a point where you understand where you're saying, okay, well, this ain't, I'm doing my thing or whatever. And it's like, you have to separate your music from your friends because a lot of times if your friends will just be like, oh yeah, it's great because they're just your friends.
True.
Yeah. Whereas when you're getting that real life interaction from people, you know what I'm saying? Cause you put in the work and those people are seeing it. They're telling that person, they're telling this person. And you're getting those real life comments. You're getting those real life follows and likes and dislikes, whatever.
Yeah.
It tells you exactly, okay, well, this is what they like. This is for real. This isn't just somebody saying. See,
yeah. And that's what you keep really pushing with.
Right. Right. You know, which is also a thing where people, if you didn't know, you can figure this out. Anyway, so we was talking about music and all that kind of stuff. So one thing that we gotta bring up: are you a basketball fan?
Of course.
Okay, I
like Grizzlies.
The Grizzlies. So you gotta be a Grizzly fan, obviously. Okay. So, in that being said, the Grizzlies.
Yeah.
Are in the motherfucking playoffs.
Yeah,
right. We doing pretty good. We lost last night, but I think we're gonna take them.
I think we will. Right. Too. We're gonna bounce back. And well, the what's it called? The Grizzlies already think so because I'm booked for one of their second round games.
Yeah.
And okay. There isn't even the second round yet, so I don't understand how they know that.
That's what I was about to get to because I was saying I saw where you had put up where you were like, okay, yeah, I'm gonna be doing the Grizzly jump, whatever, right?
Did you see? So my first, I was supposed to do it back during the Brooklyn Nets game when ESPN came to town, and we planned this like 2 months in advance. I was like so hyped for it, Like I told you, I've been doing live performance for 10 years, so it wasn't anything new. It was more just an exciting thing to be in front of that kind of crowd.
And then, it's the Grizzlies.
It's the Grizzlies, you're showing out for your team. Like, those, and then, you know, a week before it happens, I get a call from the guy, and it wasn't his fault, but I get a call from the guy, the band that would be backing me, the house band. And he was like, he's like, we're not to reschedule. ESPN's taking over our stage. I was like, what? Like, ESPN All Access literally took the stage and had Stephen A. Smith and them, like, sitting there all day long. And I was like, why couldn't we go on the court?
Yeah, right.
Why couldn't we, like, yeah, do the X, Y, and Z? And, man, it's just a big mess. I was like, whatever. So it was like, we scheduled to the playoffs, and it's been, like, the weirdest thing ever because, like, at first it was like, we didn't have our date, and then we have a date, and it's in the second round, and the second round's not even here. Yeah. And I'm like, I just go with it.
Hey, I mean, at least you know that if we do make it to the second round, we're gonna make it to the second round.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, we do, you know what I'm saying? At least you know you booked in.
Exactly.
Tapped in for that. You know what I mean?
So, and we already, like, another reason I'm not worried about it is because, like, we got next season.
Yeah.
So it's like, and the Grizzlies are not getting any worse. They're only going up. So
right.
There'll be plenty more playoff games as well. Hopefully, true, a few finals games.
Yeah.
Maybe do some of that action. Yeah.
Word. That was part one with Sun Person. Man, this dude is hardworking, bro. Like, this is motivation. Motivation. You know what I mean? Keep pushing, keep doing it. You know what I mean? Like I said, I got some exciting for y'all at the end of this episode. So, today, Friday the 13th, Sun Person is dropping a song today. You know? We're playing it exclusively here on the podcast. But it drops exclusively today, everywhere too, right? I Loved You More by Sun Person. This is going to be a great one, right? You're hearing it exclusively right here on the podcast, all right? Okay. All right, man. Sun Person, I Loved You More. Exclusive drop right here, right now. Go check it out everywhere. YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Grandma's Kitchen. That hype shit. All right, here we go.
One, two, three, go.
Some folks just can't seem to stay out of trouble. Why are we once fine, now hurt, seem unstable? I can't help you when you tear me down, but you don't seem to quite just comprehend. You pain me, shame me, blame me. Need it for
made it to the end of the episode. I can't believe that. It's pretty awesome. You're the real MVP, as they say, as that one guy with the bad haircut and the balding situation. What's his name? Kevin Durant? Yeah? That guy. Anyway, thanks for listening to this podcast. This podcast is an amazing podcast. We're listening to it way over here while we're hanging out with koalas and things, you know? It sounds kind of bad and sounds kind of out of place, but some people do like to hang out with koalas and listen to this podcast while smoking a J, you know? If that's what you like to do, then definitely keep coming back again. And you can find this podcast on Snapchat and Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, all those places that you can find great podcasts like Overcast, Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, all those kind of things. And fuck yeah, dude, we'll see you again next time on the next episode. And hopefully this fucking koala will stop taking my goddamn weed.